All right, let's get this show on the road. Last week on the Rhythm and Blues Time Machine, we got up to 1947. Wynonie Harris and Roy Brown and Big Joe Turner. But a little more about the origins of rock and roll before we even start playing this music. The term rock and roll was originally a nautical term, which has been used by seamen for centuries. The term refers to the rock, fore and aft motion, and roll, sideways motion of the ship. And the term entered black spiritual music in the 1800s, but with a religious meaning, and was first used as such in a recording in 1912 in an early black gospel song called The Camp Meeting Jubilee on the Little Wonder record label. It went, "Keep on rockin' and rollin' me in your arms, rock and roll me in your arms, in the arms of Moses." Now, here is where rock and roll music came from. Before 1947, which is the year we're looking at now on the R&B chart, the only people who talked much about rockin' were black gospel singers. They were rocking their souls in the bosom of Abraham and singing Rock Me Jesus and Rock Me in the Cradle of Thy Love and Rock Me Lord and Rock Daniel, etc. So black secular dance music at that time was boogie woogie. Then in 1947, Roy Brown did a blues called Good Rockin' Tonight. That was a parody of gospel. Only instead of rocking the Lord, he had church people like Deacon Jones and Elder Brown doing a different kind of rocking. The record sold, but Roy Brown's version was not a rocking song at all. It was a slow ballad type thing. And along comes Wynonie Harris. He caught Brown's joke about these church people rocking, but to add to the parody, he changed the rhythm to a gospel rhythm, also in 1947. The record was released at the beginning of 1948. The difference between Wynonie's version and Roy Brown's version is the gospel rhythm of rocking on the second and fourth beat of the 4-4 measure, as you hear in Wynonie Harris's rocking hand clapping, like there had been in up-tempo gospel music for decades. He wasn't the first to sing blues with a gospel beat, as others like Big Joe Turner had been doing this for years. And Brown was not the first to use the term rocking for sex, as that was being done since at least the 1920s. But it was Harris's record that started the rocking fad in blues and R&B in the late 40s. After Harris's record, there was a massive wave of rocking blues tunes, and every black singer had a rocking blues record out by 1949 or 1950. We mentioned that there was a record ban for all of 1948, so many of the records that were released in the early part of 1949 were actually recorded during the ban. Anyway, it was a sweeping fad that changed R&B forever. Rocking was in, boogie-woogie was out, and between 1948 and 1951, most R&B artists were trying like mad to out-rock each other. This new music had an extremely powerful beat. Now that the music had arrived, all it needed was a name. R&B was too broad a term because R&B was a category which included all forms of black music except for jazz and gospel. Anything else was considered R&B, regardless of the actual musical style. It could be a ballad, old-style jump blues, crooners like the Ink Spots, blues shouters, or anything else. It would be classified as R&B. But this rocking music was new and revolutionary, and therefore it needed a new name. So the disc jockeys, led by a Cleveland DJ named Alan Freed, started calling it rock and roll. This was in 1951, and many DJs followed suit, such as Waxy Maxy in D.C. and Hunter Hancock in L.A., Porky Chedwick in Pittsburgh. With the music in place and the name rock and roll now official, the story has been told. Forget all the myths you hear about 1954, Sun Records, Elvis, Sam Phillips, etc. That's the story of rockabilly. But rock and roll itself was already here. It was already named, recorded, and given airplay long before then. With the sudden emergence in 1954 of the worldwide audience that rock and roll received, the impression has been held in the minds of most people that rock and roll actually began that year. Most people, as a whole, never have known about the original rockers of the Hoy Hoy era, 1947 to 1953. And when you read most books on the origin of rock and roll, they describe an explosion that hit around 1954. All of a sudden, Elvis, Bill Haley, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and others playing perfectly developed rock and roll, as if it came out of nowhere. Some portray it as a magical moment in a recording studio with musicians goofing around during a break and playing some unrehearsed jam, and somehow accidentally inventing a whole new type of music. The more sober author says, though in error, that it was a mixture of country music and R&B, an accurate description of rockabilly, which was not the original form of rock and roll. When these books describe the roots of rock and roll, they usually start with the blues of the 1930s or earlier. Artists like Robert Johnson and Charlie Patton and make references to 1940s Chicago blues artists like Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters, and then jump right up to 1954, completely skipping over the hard-rocking saxophone-based R&B of the period 1949 to 53. There are several reasons for this. One, on the radio in the late 40s and early 50s, R&B was taboo, although there were some pioneering DJs who broke the rules and played it anyway. The first R&B to be heard on the radio in New York City, for example, was in the latter part of 1952, and even then it was only heard after midnight. Some large cities had R&B programs before this, but in general, there was almost no R&B on the radio in the early days. Without radio, the only place that R&B was widely known was in black neighborhoods before 1952. But by then, the music had changed around, and R&B was mostly changing over to the doo-wop vocal groups popular among teenagers, which means singers' earlier style R&B never became widely known. By the time R&B was becoming widely heard on the radio stations, the 78 RPM format had just recently been replaced by the 45. So unfortunately, all the early R&B was recorded on these 78. So when R&B started being played on the radio, these 78s were already in the dumpster. These hoi hoi era 78s were never played much on the radio. When rock and roll became fully entrenched after rockabilly arrived, and even more so with the British invasion of the early 60s, it became a guitar-based music. But R&B before 1953 was saxophone-based, with very little guitar at all. Since the sax was virtually dropped from rock and roll after about 1956, most of the early stars remained forgotten. So this is also true about the piano, which was probably the instrument that rock and roll was first played on. The R&B artists of 1949 to 53 faded into oblivion. The mid-50s teenagers thought of these artists as being old blues singers, whose records weren't worth listening to. The only popular R&B artist from the 1949 to 53 era who also made it big in mainstream rock and roll after 1954 was Fats Domino, who had smash hits going back as far as 1949. Little Richard had records as early as 1951, but they weren't big sellers, and he wasn't famous until Tutti Frutti in 56. Chuck Berry was a popular local performer in St. Louis during the Hoi Hoi era, but he never recorded before 55 when he became famous with Maybelline. Ike Turner was also a successful R&B artist during the Hoi Hoi era, with hit records going back to 1951. But his mid-50s records were always promoted to the R&B black audience, so he is not usually mentioned in rock. In 1954, the name rock and roll became commonly applied to the music, which was now being marketed to white teenagers who identified themselves with the new moniker. There was little incentive for these young fans to listen to earlier music with some other name. The common name for the earlier music was R&B, and the racial connotation of that name kept most rock and roll fans from exploring the earlier records, though it was the same kind of music. The exceptions to the rule were the few black artists who somehow had their records promoted as rock and roll records rather than R&B records. These artists were like Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Fats, and the vocal groups. The black artists whose records were promoted as R&B did not sell much to white teenagers. For example, Ike Turner. Ike Turner had been selling rock and roll records since 1951, but his name is never even mentioned in Roots of Rock books, simply because his music had been promoted as R&B. The music itself, however, was the same. Elvis didn't invent rock and roll. He just splashed it in the face of America through the medium of television in 1956. So we're exploring and debunking myths and legends about rock and roll, where it comes from. Before we actually take the R&B time machine and travel back to 1947, I wanted to touch on some stuff like Elvis. Not only did he not invent rock and roll, he invented rockabilly. I even disagree with that, because I have some pre-Elvis rockabilly where hillbillies first meeting up with R&B. People like Moon Mulligan and Bill Haley. I'll play for you some of that. But first, let me play a little gospel, because that's where it all came from. Elvis admits he was inspired by that. So here we go. I'm going to play a few. Here's Sister O.M. Terrell with That Gambling Man.